have time now in the program for questions. Hopefully, some have been generated from that. Everyone thinks legal aid is fine. People are being well represented. The 95% are okay. We're okay there.
Does that simple person have any hope in, for example, the context of a Supreme Court situation where they are the plaintiff?
There are self-help resources where people who can't afford to hire a lawyer can access. There's the Justice Education Society, which provides a good deal of material that people can access and use to help organize their presentation. There's Pro Bono Access BC, or Access Pro Bono BC, which is a very good organization where you can get actual legal representation at some level along the way. The Law Society itself is looking at programs where they're unbundling legal services, where if you can't afford a lawyer for a full trial, but you can afford to pay a lawyer for legal advice or assistance along the way, that's a possibility as well. Judges are obliged to ensure that people have fair trials. And so if you're self-represented in front of a judge and the other party is represented by counsel, the judge is there to assist you along the way. But the judge really can't descend into the arena to help you prove your case or resist the other side's case. What the judge can do is help you understand the process, help you understand the procedures, and give you some guidance as to how to ask questions and what needs to be asked, for example, in cross-examination. We on the Supreme Court do have quite a lot of manuals and materials that we provide to self-represented litigants. But it's a good idea to get them well in advance, study them hard, and present your cases as in as organized a fashion as you can. I don't mean to suggest that self-represented litigants are not competent to do a case, but it's very, very difficult where you have another side with a lawyer who's trained in the law, who understands the rules of evidence, who's used to cross-examination and direct examination, who has perhaps expert evidence with the requisite notice have been served on you, and you're not at that same level of competence. It's an unfair system. Judges recognize that, but they have to maintain impartiality, and they can't descend into the arena to assist the unrepresented person. But there are sources of help for you if you're obliged to represent yourself. Yes.
I was just going to ask when the tax that's imposed on legal services was imposed. Presumably, it was done by statute. And you may know, does that statute specifically allocate the money to legal aid, or does it give the government an out to allocate it wherever it wants?
The history of it, I could probably answer this. The history of it was introduced by the NDP when they were last in government. Mo Sahota was the Minister of Finance, I believe, at the time. When he stood in the House, he said this money collected by this tax is going to be used to pay for legal aid. It wasn't in the legislation, but that was the explanation provided in the House when the tax was introduced.
So it's just a verbal commitment?
Correct. Then what happened is very quickly the tax started collecting more money than they were prepared to give the Legal Services Society. The Liberals in opposition were extremely critical of the NDP for doing that. The future Attorney General, Jeff Plant, when in opposition, stood in the House and said, isn't it wrong when the tax is collecting all this money, it's not being provided to its intended purpose? He was indignant. The Liberals wound up in power a year later, and they cut the budget to legal aid by about 40%. And now they're diverting well more than half of the money they're collecting. Should have got it in writing.
That's right.
Yes.
Why are we getting anywhere? How do we continue to strategize and push this issue forward and make change?
Well, the short answer is, if I know the answer to your question, we'd probably be doing it already. It's very difficult to get the ear of the government. On occasion, we get it. But the response is always the same. We're very sympathetic, but there just is no money. So,
to you answer that amazing economic analysis that Sharon Matthews did, and you point out why it makes economic sense, and still.
Yeah. Yes. It hasn't changed in about 10 years. The response hasn't changed. What we're hoping is that as lawyers, as criminal defense counsel, and as family lawyers who take legal aid referrals, and that in and of itself is very commendable, because these lawyers struggle probably even harder than the criminal lawyers do, because they're so curtailed in how many hours they can bill per case, even though a case may require 30 hours, they can bill for 5. That's brutal. So I've totally lost my train of thought now. Yes. So what we're hoping with the no job action, because our only voice is in the courts, that by being absent from court and keeping judges and Crown and court staff idle and wasting court time, that there will be sufficient public outcry, that the Attorney General will be forced to actually sit down and discuss with us how much money she's going to actually allocate to legal aid. That's our hope. Thank you.
I have a suggestion. Years ago, this is going back to early 2000, I was asked to go out to speak to the county bar presidents from around the province. And Jeff Plant was there, representing the Attorney General, and there were various other people to just give an update of what was going on with the bar. And there was, I can't remember what the issue was, but the bar had collectively sent a letter to the Attorney General saying X and Y. And Plant said to this gathering, you know, thank you very much for this nice letter. It's very good to have a reasoned letter before you. But he said it doesn't get anywhere politically. And I think that's right. And what you have to do is really publicize in a very, very open and strong way what the problems are. And forgive me, all of you people, for saying withdrawal of services, I don't know about that. I really think that polls and pay for them, and just relentlessly giving publicity to the problem. And that's what makes politicians move. You know, you talk about social media. Everybody reacts to that, particularly politicians. Just keep on relentlessly putting this issue in front of the public, and particularly the politicians. That's my suggestion.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of what we've talked about with legal aid is, I think you guys mentioned it, an access to justice issue. And it's one source of achieving access to justice, really. It's getting the money from the government. And I'm wondering if we can look at another source, if you guys can comment on the legal profession itself, and whether there are changes that the legal profession should make in addressing access to justice. Because at the moment, it seems like I just entered the legal profession as an Arkansas student, and I'm getting a sense that it's a very highly regulated, but very strictly regulated industry that isn't making itself as accessible as it could be. And I'm wondering if any of you guys could comment on any changes, perhaps the liberalization of the legal market, anything like that.
Well, a few have been mentioned. One is the unbundling of legal services. So that's permitting lawyers to do a particular part of a case if somebody couldn't afford to hire the lawyer to deal with all of it. The other thing which the legal profession does in remarkable numbers is the volume of pro bono work that's done. I think it may be unmatched by other professions. you don't hear a lot of discussion about when there's a need for additional medical services, whether we should ask for pro bono doctors to show up at the hospital on Saturdays and Sundays to treat people because we've run out of money to pay for it. So the legal profession is remarkable and notable for the amount of work that's done. The other thing the legal profession, quite frankly, does, and we've heard from two practitioners that for many years have done high volumes of legal aid work, they're not working for free, but it's not far off. The amount of money that a lawyer gets when they're paid on a legal aid basis now is probably in the neighborhood of a quarter of what they would be paid to do the same work privately. So all of the lawyers all over the province that are showing up every day taking legal aid retainers on family matters where there's still any funding at all and on criminal matters are doing work at those sort of rates. And I appreciate for the public, you say, oh, somebody's getting $82 an hour. That sounds like a lot of money. But the reality is those lawyers are being paid for a fraction of the actual time they spend on cases. They're unpaid for the work they do preparing for them in many circumstances. And then the small number of hours they're actually paid for, a large proportion of that money is going to pay for their secretary, if they can still afford one, their office rent, their insurance, and all the things that go into it. So the legal profession does all sorts of things to further access to justice. But in my judgment, that's not an adequate answer. We don't look to the doctors and say, please do it charitably. That's not adequate. This is a core responsibility of government. It goes to the rule of law. If you have a system which relies on counsel to ensure that there's fairness, and you hear that there's 90% of people showing up in some categories that don't have counsel, that's an outrageous failure. While the legal profession can do some things to plug those holes, this is a core function and responsibility of government, in my judgment.
One of the things that the legal profession could do, and what I've seen happen, is one of the major firms, one of the national firms actually in Vancouver, had a program with the Federal Crown years ago where their junior lawyers used to take on federal prosecutions. And the reason why they did that wasn't because it was lucrative. They did it because they wanted those prosecutors to learn trial skills that they wouldn't get working at a large firm because they're just simply not going to send in their junior lawyers into a major court case, to run a major court case at a large firm. It's not going to happen. So in order to develop those skills, they developed a contract with the Federal Crown where they would take on some of their less serious drug prosecution cases and allow those junior lawyers to prosecute those drug files. One of the things that could happen is if the trial skills within civil law is going down all the time because they're not getting to court. It's in fact one of the reasons why I left a major civil firm was because I realized if I wanted to become a trial lawyer, I had to get into court and be a trial lawyer, and you do it in criminal law. And what I would like to see is some of those firms that they really want to train those lawyers is let them take on some of these, in the first 2 years of their practice, let them take on some of these self-represented litigants, people who maybe aren't facing a jail sentence or aren't going to qualify for legal aid or are above the income threshold but still can't hire a lawyer privately, and let them be free to use their time almost as if it's billable time. Don't hold your breath for that to happen. Those firms aren't probably going to do that, but that's one of the things that the legal profession could do is they could train their lawyers by sending them down to represent some of these big firms could send their junior lawyers down to represent some of these self-represented litigants.
I think that's a very good question, and there is a program called Low Bono BC where lawyers from some of the larger firms will actually represent litigants who are involved in either family or commercial cases, but who don't have the resources to hire a lawyer for less than their going rate. And it does two things. It gives them the experience to get into court, and it provides a representation to those who otherwise couldn't afford it. So there are things that lawyers can and do to ease the strain of the expense of the expense of going to court. There are a number of initiatives that are recommended by the various reports, the CBA report, the Cromwell report, that involve a number of different things at the front end to try and get cases resolved more quickly than they otherwise are, because one of the big drivers of cost, of course, is the delays in getting a case to trial and the expense of actually taking it to trial. So those are the kinds of things that are looked at under the rubric of access to justice.
I'm going to hesitate to interrupt Associate Chief Justice, but I'm very grateful to everybody for participating. We are. And Lois, thank you very much. It's a wonderful tool. It's the beginning of a discussion, which I think we can see the direction. I want to tell the article student that if you take on a case and you get legal aid and they pay $83 an hour, $83.90 an hour. That is almost half my overhead. In other words, I get to throw in another $90 before I get to just steady. So the economics are partly the price of real estate, the crushing elements. This is a situation that's more, it's not going to be solved by generosity. Those are breadcrumbs. We have a problem overall.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you. All of you. 100%. Thank you. That was great. I think we're good.